Welcome back to our NLC weekly podcast, where we are encouraged from the word of God that's preached in our services every Sunday morning. Here is this week's message.
I want us to turn to our scriptures today, and we're reading from Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, and it says, "Only be sure to lead your lives in a manner that will be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come to see you or remain absent, I will hear about that you are standing firm in one spirit and one purpose, with one mind, striving side by side as if in combat for the faith of the gospel." Well, last week we started a new series called Breakthrough Side by Side. And today we are going to continue in that series, but I'm not able to do that alone. I want to call somebody special, somebody so dear to me, to help me in this, minister this series today, side by side with my wonderful, beautiful wife, my best friend of 35 years, my wife of 31 years, and we've done life side by side, and we will continue to do so. Amen. So my wife and I are honored today to minister part two of our series. In part one of this series, we learned that we are not just meant to be doing life alone, but we are doing life with those around us. We are not meant to be lone rangers or hermits leading solitary lives, but linked together, benefiting from the relating with one another. And the question is, who is side by side with you, or who are you side by side with? In this series, we'll be focusing on key relationships in life and some general values that we can grow in. So even if the specific relationship being talked about may not be where you are right now, it may not be your current season, don't think there's nothing you can learn. There's always something you can learn. It could be the season you go into one day, or what you could learn would enable you to help someone in your world who's in that season.
Hallelujah. So we got that. So every value we cover in this series will help us, whatever relationships we are in. You know, we may be talking about a particular relationship and apply a particular value, but you could take that same value and apply it in another relationship. Today, we are going to be talking about family. Everyone say family.
Family.
Baba, mama, na wato?
Watoto.
Hey. Psalm 68:6 says, and we all know that from Pep, God settles and places the solitary in
families.
Yes. Family is the first relationship we have in life. You know, it's our foundational relationship. It's what we come into. And most likely, that's the relationship that will have the greatest impact in our future relationships. And you know, just because we live in the same house, under the same roof, hopefully eating at the same time at the same table, hopefully, it doesn't mean that just because we are doing that, we have meaningful family relationships. It doesn't mean we are necessarily doing life side by side the way God wants us to do. You know, like Pastor Kevin ministered to us last week, making a connection involves making an effort. Doing things God's way will take work. And we need to settle that in our hearts, that it's not automatic. Just because you're my son, my daughter, just because you're my dad, my mom, it's really not an automatic relationship. Both of us will have to work at this. Relationships take work. In fact, they will only truly work when we work. The family we are in, the family you are in, let me tell you, it's by divine ordination. You're not an accident, you're not a mistake. Who you're side by side with at the beginning of life, as you go through life, throughout life. It's not an accident. It's not a chance. You are side by side with your family by God's design. Amen? Amen. Everyone say, I am not an accident.
I'm not an accident.
I am not in my family by accident.
Not in my family by accident.
And parents, I want to speak to us. And let me tell you for the record, I am what we call the sandwich generation. I am a parent with children, but I'm also a daughter with a dad and a mom. And we'll be looking at both sides of that coin. So as a parent, fellow parent, the children you have are given to you by God. They are assigned specifically to you by God himself.
Amen. Specifically to you. So before we delve further, we need to be aware of something. The enemy fights the family more than anything. Many of the cultural wars we face are actually intense warfare on the family unit. The devil hates family. The enemy is so focused on breaking down the family unit. So let us not be ignorant of Satan's schemes. If the devil can get the family, get the children, or cause the children wounds and scars in their lives, other relationships they form in life could be affected. They begin to look at life through the lens of the wounds they have received. But the good news is that our God is a restorer. Our God is a healer. And even if we come to him with brokenness or from painful relationships, he can extend his hand. He can extend the breakthrough that we need to us, and we can be turned around. There can be a turnaround in our families. You can be the turnaround for your generation that comes after you. That after God turns you around, you can then in turn be that turnaround for the generations that come after you. There is hope for the child who has been wounded or the parent who has been wounded by their child. Whatever the situation, God's hand is extended toward us to bring healing and restoration.
Amen. So I pray each of us is coming into this service with an open heart. No matter what situations we are coming from, this word is for each of us and all of us today. So what values can we learn? Okay, not just as parents of children. I know it's Mother's Day and we are focusing on the parent, the mom. But what can we learn as sons and daughters of our parents? And I'm talking to you, whether you're a clubber, a young adult, or a seasoned. No, in this church, we don't have old people. We just have seasoned people. So whether you're a clubber, a young adult, or a seasoned adult, this message is for you. And those of us who are older need to know, we need to keep a relationship going with our parents. And before we go into the how are we to relate as families? How do we relate to our parents? How do we relate to our children? Let's look at the why. Because if we understand why we are doing things a certain way, it makes it easier to keep going in the how, especially when things are thick, when things are hard, when I don't feel like remembering why I am acting this way, why I am conducting myself in this way. If I understand why, it gives me motivation and encouragement for the how.
So, first of all, parents, are you there? I have a question for us. What one thing is most important for you to provide for your children? Think about it. What one thing is most important for you and I to provide for our children? And even if you're not a parent, you can think about it as well. What one thing is most important for parents to provide for their children? Let's look at some scriptures and see how we can answer this question. Mark 8:36 says this. For what does it benefit a person to gain the whole world and forfeit or lose his soul? I'll read that again. For what does it benefit a person? That person is your child, your daughter, your son, to gain the whole world and forfeit their soul. What would it benefit for your child to gain the whole world but lose their soul? So therefore, as a parent, the most important thing that you and I must provide is to help our child develop a relationship with God. We must help our children develop a relationship with God. So therefore, my goal in parenting should be to raise godly children. Because like Malachi chapter 2 and verse 15 says, God is seeking godly offspring from our union.
True. That's actually our most important task. That's where we must focus our priorities as parents. Now remember, we are talking today to us parents, but we are also talking to us sons and daughters. You know, those of us who dedicated our children, those parents who've done that, we vowed to raise our kids in the fear and admonition of the Lord. To this task we are called. It's our most important task. But what about those of us who are sons and daughters? Okay, whether you're 5, 55, 105. Why should we adopt certain values or act a certain way, the way the scripture says, conduct yourself in a certain manner? Why should we conduct ourselves in a certain manner in the way we relate to our parents? Why? Because God commands, not suggests, God commands us to honor our parents. In Amen. Everything I do in relating to my parents, am I honoring my parents? That's God, the word of the Lord for me. Exodus 20:12 is a commandment we all know. Honor your father and mother so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Do you want your days to be long?
Yeah.
You do. And don't think of physical land. Land is territory. Land is the breakthrough you're believing God for. Do you want that breakthrough to last a long time? Do you? You do that thing you're praying and pressing in for. You want it to last long in that land, in that territory, in that breakthrough. The longevity of my breakthrough is tied to how I honor my parents.
Say that again.
The longevity of our breakthroughs is tied to how we honor our parents. God said it. But I know we may argue that command was given to children, young children, as we are adults. Do adult sons and daughters have to honor their parents? So let's look at that same command in the book of Ephesians, because it's repeated in the New Testament. And it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, which means accept their guidance. Amen, children?
Amen.
Accept their discipline. It's the parents who are shouting. Accept their discipline as his representatives. Amen, clubbers? Because this is right. Obedience teaches wisdom and self-discipline. Then, that's the children, your clubbers, the ones in kids' house. Then it tells all of us, in verse 2, honor, esteem, value as precious your father and your mother. Be respectful to them. It doesn't tell us adult sons and daughters to obey, but we are to honor and to be respectful. And that is the first commandment with a promise. Why? So that it may be well with you and that you may have a long life on earth. Do you want it to be well with you?
Yes.
Honor your parents. So young children still under the roof of their parents, they are to obey. But all of us, whether we are young children, 5 or 105, we are to honor our parents. The word of God says, so that it may go well with?
Yes.
Amen.
Now that we have talked about the why, let's look at some practical ways of how we are to relate as families. How do we raise godly children? How do we honor our parents? Number one, lead well. Everybody say, lead well.
So is this for the parents or for the child?
It's for all of us, and we will break it down as we go along. Hallelujah. Parents, our children are following our example more than anything else. More than the words you speak, more than the things you say, the example you are setting is what they are following. Our patterns help to establish our children's patterns. Parents, lead your home. Don't be intimidated when it comes to setting godly standards in your home.
Amen.
Guard the atmosphere. Do this gently, but firmly. Set the boundaries. For example, when you're in your living room watching something on the big screen, are you conscious of who you are inviting into your home and what atmosphere it creates? That screen and what is going on the screen, you are inviting those people into your home. They have become your guests, and they are speaking with you, and they are speaking to your children, and they are influencing them. Be very conscious of that. Could what you are watching on the big screen be influencing what your children are watching on the small screen? Be very careful. There are many voices, many opinions, so-called experts trying to influence how we parent. We should not allow social media to pressure us into parenting the world's way. God has called you, God has called myself and my wife and has chosen us and anointed us to lead our children. So listen to His voice, God's voice. Let Him lead you as you lead your family. So pray consistently and let Scripture guide and determine your decisions and your leadership as a parent. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 to 7, God instructs us as parents and He says, "These words I am commanding you today are to be upon your hearts," not just your mind, but your hearts. They should be in here. "And then you shall teach them diligently," you being you as a parent, teaching them diligently to your children. "Speak of them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up." It's not just our 5-minute devotion in the evening. It is a lifestyle. This is how we live our lives. Never stop leading. We just live differently as our children get older. We are to continue setting a godly example even for our adult children. As pastors and our wives, as well as the different ministries here at NLC, we are here to support the work that you're already doing at home.
Amen. And it's our joy to do so, to walk with you and be partners with you as you raise your children. But primarily, whose job is it to raise the child? Whose parent. Job is it for to raise your child? Yes, the job of the parent. It's your privilege and honor. So as you've noticed, Pastor John is primarily talking to the parents. And I'm going to talk to us, sons and daughters. So how do we said the values we share apply both ways. So are we expecting you, son, you, daughter, to go home and lead your parent in an African home? Or any home? Then work like that. So we're not saying you go home and start telling your parents what to do. That won't work. For us, as sons and daughters, what we ought to do is to lead ourselves well. Lead yourself well. First Timothy reminds us, "Let no one despise your youth, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity." That principle applies across the board. How am I conducting myself? How is my love at home? How is my purity at home? I am able to set an example for older believers, younger believers. Just because I am young or younger does not disqualify me. And even if you have unsaved parents, the Word of God promises us that if we will lift Jesus up, He will draw everyone to Himself.
Amen.
That includes our parents. That includes our siblings. Nobody is left out. So whether I'm a teen, a young adult, the seasoned adult, I have the ability to influence how my parents relate to me. We have the ability to influence how our parents relate to us by our behavior and our response.
Amen.
You have the Spirit of the Lord. What God asks us to do as the sons and daughters of our parents is to let our light so shine before our parents that they will see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. That's what the Bible promises in Matthew 5:16. So son, daughter, take responsibility for your words, your actions, your attitudes. When mom asks you to make tea for the fourth time today, tomorrow. Maybe I'm campaigning for myself. Guilty.
And include the father's attitude.
And daddy would also like a cup of tea in that process. No, the kids are great. They understand me and tea have a relationship. Lead yourself well.
So that is the first thing. Lead well. The second thing of the how is serve well. Serve well. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 26 says, but among you, it will be different. That is us, among us who are believers, it will be different. And it says, whoever wants to be a leader amongst you must be your servant. So for us to lead, we need to serve. Parenthood is servanthood. In the everyday routines of life, serve well. Don't miss the miracle in the mundane. Don't grow weary in doing well. The cooking, the waking up at night, the reading the Bible stories, the paying the bills, the constant correction, and unending discipline, it may seem, praying for your children, attending their events, getting them ready for church on Sunday morning, and all the other things you have to do over and over and over. And over, just seems unending. Don't forget, God will reward your labor of love. So keep Amen. Serving well.
Amen. Indeed, let's clap for our parents. Every day, they cook, they clean, they think, they pray, they bring us to church. Thank you, parents. Sisi watoto, as children, how do we serve our parents? That's the easy one. Leading was a bit hard for us, sons and daughters. Serving, it's not difficult to serve our parents. Galatians 5:13 says, through love, serve one another. So it's not just doing the chore or serving your parent. It's how I serve. I serve through love. One of the ways we express love and honor to our parents is by serving them. Serve cheerfully. See, God loves a cheerful giver, not reluctantly, not under compulsion. God loves the cheerful giver. Serve with all your heart. Serve with a good attitude. Now, we used to say attitude is altitude. In fact, it will feel much better if I decide to do it with a good attitude. Since you're going to do it anyway, so you might as well do it with a good attitude. If you're still at home, under the roof of your parents, find ways to take things off your parents. Like yesterday afternoon, we needed to step out of the house for a few hours. Then when we came back, let me tell you, there's nothing like opening the door. And from the kitchen, the smell of dinner is wafting. That is a breakthrough, my friend. That's Hallelujah. A parent's idea of a breakthrough. I didn't have to cook. We didn't have to cook. We didn't even have to think what to cook. The girls who are home thought it and cooked it. Let me tell you, see, we were blessed. Watch out too. And so will your parents. If you're still at home, find a way to serve. For those of us who've moved out, don't just send money home. There's more to life than money.
Yes.
A present is a good thing, but your presence is what we really need as parents. Our elderly parents need us to be present. By all means, please go with a present. So make time to visit your parents, spend time with them, listen to their stories, and glean from their wisdom. Those gray hairs have a lot of life experience. Even if they never went to school, they are wise when it comes to matters of life. Don't ignore.
Let me tell you a funny story. There's once we were going to visit my wife's parents in Chags, and there's this shortcut we normally use because it cuts off quite a bit of distance. And it had rained, so we were not too sure whether we should use it or not. So we called Dad, and we asked him, should we use the shortcut or not? And he said no. But being the good driver that I am, I thought, we can do this. So we started, and it's a very steep descent and then ascent. So as we were going down, have you ever stepped on the brakes and they are doing nothing? The car is just going where it wants. And I have all the children in the back of the car and my wife. But by the grace of God, we didn't go over the ditch. So God was merciful to us. Some people, I don't know where they came from, helped us turn the car around. And I don't know how, but we managed to drive up. We couldn't drive down, but we drove up and went round. And when we got to the house, we had to humbly repent to our parents for disobeying them in front of our kids and just be humble. They have wisdom. Amen. And could save you a lot.
Yes. Your parents are full of wisdom. Our parents are full of wisdom. It will help us. So other things we could all do, whether we are at home or we've moved out, take your parents out for a meal.
Hey. Hallelujah.
See, I feel nice when our kids do that. Watch that too. Cook for us at home, but you can also take us out. Get the car washed, whether you're washing it yourself or you're treating them to a nice car wash. Bless them with some groceries. I think most of us are pretty good at that. We know not to go home empty-handed. Help them run errands. Know if dad or mom needs to go to hospital, there's a lot of paperwork and a lot of footwork that needs to be done in the hospital. And if your parents are elderly, that's hard. Huh? Yeah. So you know what I'm saying? So taking them to a doctor's appointment, going with them to a supermarket, and let them be the VIP who sits there while you run around with that shopping list. There's so much we can do to serve our parents. Now, parents, dear parents, as children, we want to come and serve you. But remember, it's about serving you, not taking over your life. You cannot put us children under pressure to finance a lifestyle we are not able to keep up with. Am I allowed to say that? Because I'm a both. See, I'm both a parent and a child. We need to be sensitive and remember that our children are trying to build their own lives. But that no excuse to not serve our parents. Serve well.
So the third thing of the how is invest well. Parents, this is for us. Number one, invest in discipline and in training. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11 says, no discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It is painful, but afterwards there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. We must discipline, knowing that discipline and training are investments into our children's future. The full harvest comes later. The second thing of investing is invest in the things of God. If we want to raise godly children, and I believe we all do, then we must invest in the things of God from an early age and remain consistent through the different stages of our children's lives. Parents, do I have your attention? While education and extracurricular activities are important, and for us, if you know us, education is very important. The house of God, the people of God, the things of God are more important. Make them your priority. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added to you. So remember to read the Bible with them, pray with them, come to church with them, facilitate their activities in kids' house, in club, in city lights, in cell, and in ministry teams. Parents who are here early because your children have committed themselves to ministry teams, we salute you. Facilitate their involvement in the things of God. You are investing well. Number three, invest in quality time. Invest in talking to your children. Start when they are young, not just when they're about to leave home and you want to give them life's advice and you've never talked to them before. Talk to them about their interests, the things they enjoy, even if it may seem childish or silly to you. Play with them. Find ways to enter their world. Show them that you are interested in what matters to them. That is so important for your children. Number four, invest in affection. Hug them, kiss them, tell them that you love them, appreciate them, encourage them. Let them hear good things, not just when they do things wrong. Catch them doing things right and commend them. Amen? And number five, invest in knowledge. What are they watching? What are they listening to? It takes time, yes, and work, but invest in knowing who is speaking into and influencing them. Learn about how to set safe boundaries on devices and channels. Don't leave them open and vulnerable to the enemy. Remember, we said the enemy is out to attack the family? So set boundaries so that you know who is influencing them through entertainment.
How do we invest in our parents? Because they've raised us. We kind of think it's them who invest in us. If you have elderly parents, invest in quality time. Because let me tell you a hard fact, time is running out. We won't have our parents forever. Make memories while we have our parents. Glean from that wisdom, like they said, there's so much gold in our parents. And make memories not just for yourself. Make their heart glad. Make memories with them so that they are happy when they think of you. They are blessed when they think of you. Value spending time with them. Ask questions about life. There's nothing I like listening to my parents telling me about how they grew up. It just sounds like they were in Noah's Ark or something. And maybe that's how our kids feel about us. But I love the stories though. And just the wisdom I learned from them. And ask them to pray for you. Ask them to pray with you. Just the power of the blessing of a parent. So invest in quality time and then invest in gratitude. Be grateful. I know we do not have perfect parents. My parents are not perfect. And I am not perfect as a parent. But how many of us know we are not perfect as sons and daughters either? None of us is perfect. Be grateful for what they've done, what they've given, sacrifice, what they make possible for us, their sons and daughters, most of which we will never know. The sacrifices they made so that we can be where we are. Don't wait until parents are gone. You know, we say give them their flowers when they are still alive. Don't wait to lay them on the grave and that's the first time they are hearing. You know, you can give tribute to someone who is alive and around and tell them how much they mean to you. Verbalize, communicate gratitude. None of us will regret it. And I want to finish by telling us, don't give up on family relationships. We are not perfect. Your parents are not perfect. You are not perfect. Your children are not perfect. And because we are doing life side by side, we will hurt one another sometimes. It can be hard. And sometimes the hurt can be a lot. And, you know, past dealings bring tension and pain and awkwardness, discouragement. Don't give up on your family. Keep praying. Keep leading well. Keep serving well. Keep investing well. Believe that the God who answers your prayers will turn this around for you, will give you the breakthrough you long for. God is the healer. God is the restorer. We will see breakthroughs side by side with our parents and our children. Amen? Amen. Amen. So I want to pray for us. Because we need the grace of God to live this way, to continually, consistently live this way. So let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning and we thank you for family. Thank you for our dads. Thank you for our moms. Thank you for our children. Thank you for the time you blessed us with to spend with them and be in their lives. Oh God, we do not take it for granted. Thank you for those who raised us and invested in us. And God, today we pray your specific blessing upon parents, the parents who are here, our own parents who may not be here. Lord, we pray you bless them back home where they are. We ask you to strengthen and encourage them and that they will be able to see not just what they didn't get right, but they will see what you enabled them to do. We pray for our parents to be encouraged. I pray here for every person for whom family is a difficult, painful topic. Children who are wounded by their parents deeply. Parents who are wounded by their children deeply. And people who are not able to seek redress. Father, I pray step into that situation. Step into that stormy boat, oh God. And bring healing and bring restoration, oh Lord. I pray that none of us will give up hope. Hope does not disappoint. Hoping in you does not disappoint. That we will keep praying and pressing in because we are talking to God who hears. We are talking to God who answers prayer. I pray today for mothers. I pray for fathers who are grieving because their children are lost in the world and they have turned away from you, oh God. Lord, you tell us to train up our children in the way they should walk and that they will then follow you. God, I pray for every parent who knows they did everything they needed to do, what they knew to do, and yet their children have turned away from God. Comfort them in their pain, and we pray for those children. We call them back to the house of God. We call them back to the ways of God. We call them back to following God. In the name of Jesus. And I pray that even as the church leaves this house today, we are living inspired, we are living encouraged, we are living that knowing that you are with us even as we seek to do life side by side with those in our families. In Jesus' name we pray.
Even as we continue praying, for those of us who are parents and even as children, let's just continue praying and asking God to help us, that we'll be able to lead well, that we'll be able to serve well, and that we'll be able to invest well. You've heard the word of God. Now respond. You know what God has tugged your heart, different things that have been said. Make that commitment today that you're going to do things differently, that you're going to lead differently as a parent. You're going to lead differently, and you're going to set the example as a son and as a daughter. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask you to help us to serve as parents, our children. Give us the grace to do those mundane things over and over and over again. Help us, Lord, not to give up or to grow weary in doing well. Lord, we pray that you're helping us to invest the time, to invest even in discipline and in talking to our children, to being affectionate with them and helping them, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for those of us who are sons and daughters. Lord, we are investing quality time. We are spending time with our parents. We are doing things for them. We are serving them in the name of Jesus. We are investing in gratitude. In the name of the Lord, we thank you and we bless you that even as has already been prayed, that Lord, as we take the steps even to do what you're commanding us to do, we are seeing a turnaround, we are seeing a change, we are seeing breakthroughs coming to our homes and to our families. We thank you, Lord, and we bless you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening. If you're looking for a church community to be a part of or would like to learn more about following Jesus, we would love to hear from you. You can find us at NLC Official on social media or WhatsApp on 0720-652-652. Join us next week for another message. Until then, God bless you.